What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Hey folks, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters here with Future Dan of Future Danger. .com. It is February 9th, 2021. It's Tuesday. We're live back on our normal day and time. Last week, we were actually on Thursday, but we are back to our normal schedule. Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll be here live for the foreseeable future. And as always, you can find us on the archive. Lots of ways to find that. But the best is really just go to PrepperBroadcasting.com. PrepperBroadcasting.com. Future Dan, how you doing there, sir?
Yeah, doing all right. We got a big show tonight. You want to kind of outline what we're going to get into for us?
Absolutely. So we got four segments in tonight's Power Hour, Patriot Power Hour. I'm going to talk a bit about Bitcoin as well as some silver and gold, but really hit on Bitcoin here in this a few minutes. Go to break, hit the news blitz, come back. Then we're going to talk a little five generations of warfare. I know a little bit about this. I won't tease, and really it's you that'll be leading us through that conversation, but extremely interesting going through the kind of history of warfare and where we are now, especially as it relates with China. So we're going to hit that, and I think the fourth quarter is going to be a little bit of a grab bag. I'm sure we're going to discuss some of the articles we reviewed, as well as this kind of generation of warfare, this analysis of the different generations and where it fits today.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tease certain fact. I'm going to make an announcement. I'm making an assessment.
Okay.
In the fourth quarter, after we've kind of broken down what the five generations are, I'm going to tell everybody where I think we are at right now in the fifth generation.
So five generations of warfare. The first one, sticks and stones, and then go from there. We'll get deep into that. On the other side, and of course, again, the Future Danger News Blitz will be part of our second segment, but my, oh my, Bitcoin. I mean, some people might be sick and tired of hearing about it, but if you bought even a little bit, you have been very joyous recently. Elon Musk came out yesterday, announced that Tesla is putting $1.5 billion fiat U.S. dollars into Bitcoin, putting it on their corporate balance sheet. So this isn't just hedge fund investments. This is corporate balance sheet. Not unprecedented. I think he's maybe the second or third big mover. MicroStrategy is kind of known as one of the biggest ones first. Point is, Bitcoin topping $46,000+ as we speak right now. And just year to date, it's up more than 30%.
It hit 48.
It's one of those that kind of hit 48, retreated, but it's been kind of stabilized. But I guess the high is above 48 for a few minutes there. And I mean,
so in the past 7 weeks, that's doubled in value almost.
It has. And we were talking about this a little bit before we started about, what was it, December 22nd, our season finale of Patriot Power Hour. Last year, we talked about a diversified approach to preparedness, and part of that being financial preparedness. Part of it, getting rid of debt, getting rid of everything you don't need to pay for, getting some gold and silver, some land, and some preps. But we focus on Bitcoin, maybe being something people are missing. And gosh, do you have the price since then? I mean, like you said, it's almost doubled since then, which, I mean, is even more than I expected. But, wow, pretty crazy. This is just unbelievable. I mean, I have my thoughts on it. What do you
– and how did
what's
it happen?
Your first take? What's your first take, I guess, on this craziness, though?
Well, explain what happened Monday with Tesla.
So, instead of putting the cash on hand that Tesla has onto a money market or holding it in a bank with U.S. dollars, right, at 0% interest rate, Elon Musk said, you know what, we're putting it into Bitcoin. Since he announced that, Bitcoin is up, geez, like 15%. So he turned $1.5 billion. He's already made more than $200 million, $300 million in profit. Obviously, Bitcoin is very volatile and it could go down and lots of wild swings, but this is a new revolution to have a Fortune 500, actually like a Fortune 100, one of the most highest market cap stocks out there, putting $1.5 billion into Bitcoin. Obviously, Bitcoin went from like 39 grand to 46 grand instantly. Insane price action, really.
Yeah. We're witnessing this, and other companies are going to potentially move from the dollar to Bitcoin. And how do you think they're taking that in the Treasury and Fed right now?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. Number one, if you think Bitcoin's a fraud and you never, ever want to get into it and you wish we never, ever talked about it, I can understand. I hope you relook at it and examine it in detail. And I'll tell you this, Bitcoin will drop in price and probably drop into the 20,000s again at some point. So don't jump in full force right now. Be smart. But if it drops, be prepared to jump in, buy those dips. But if you don't even want to buy this stuff, at least focus on this. Why is all this money going to Bitcoin? It's because no one trusts the U.S. dollar, and there's so much stimulus money out there. It's all, quote, funny money. I don't believe Bitcoin is funny money, but maybe you do, you folks out there. And this is very this is very destabilizing for the U.S. dollar, no matter if you believe in Bitcoin or not. This type of action, and then with GameStop and all this short squeeze and this hedge funds and leverage, I mean, it is just another example of the financial day of reckoning is coming.
Now, what happens if it drops back into the 20s and people are motivated? By the way, you don't have to buy it per coin. You don't have to have 20 grand. You can buy it in any of the smallest fractions, right? You can put $10 into it.
Correct.
And get that. And it all comes down to a unit of measure called Satoshis, right?
Correct.
Anyhow, if it dropped into the 20s, what would that make a Tesla's $1.5 billion investment? And what would happen to that stock? And how could that cascade into the equity fiat system?
Well, that's why everyone's been too scared to do it. They say, well, my stockholders, my shareholders would never allow that type of volatility. Even if there's a great, great chance you'll make a lot of money, even that small chance it would crash to 20,000 or even zero is just too much stress for the average kind of fuddy-duddy conservative investor, which I understand. However, Bitcoin's volatile, but it's volatile to the upside. And this is the key. Even take Bitcoin out of the equation. If you are a company or an individual and you leave your money in the bank earning 0.01% of interest, like literally, pretty much literally, okay, you're losing through inflation, in my estimate, at least 10% per year. I believe real inflation, 10% per year. You're getting 0% interest on it. You're losing that. So right there, that's kind of Elon Musk saying, if I just leave it and follow the crowd, do what everyone else is doing and leave their corporate dollars just getting no return, guess what? You know, that I can't live with that. I'd rather take a little bit more risk, but at least not guarantee a 10% loss. It's a little extreme for the average, you know, the old school finance, but him making this move is going to have others make it as well.
Right. And as the dollars, you know, continue to struggle, does that not drive international investment in Bitcoin?
Absolutely. And it is borderless. It really is. And one thing that Elon Musk noted that Tesla's not just buying a bunch of Bitcoin. They're actually buying a lot of gold as well. and some other assets that are kind of outside the box, right? Not just normal corporate Wall Street assets. So, hey, I bet they will rebalance. If Bitcoin goes up big, they may end up using some of that to buy some gold and vice versa. So they're not going only in on Bitcoin. It's part of a strategy. To them, $1.5 billion is a lot of money, but trust me, that's they still have a lot more than that. It's like 8% of their balance sheet. So it's not like all in, so to speak, as well. Just keep that in mind.
So you may remember a couple shows ago, I mentioned picking up some silver. Right ahead of a silver spike. I'd like to report to you tonight, I still don't have my delivery.
That's actually, we didn't even discuss this. Is really glad you brought that up. Literally 2 days before the silver spike and the whole GME thing went on, I ordered some and I got some almost within three business days it arrived at my house. And it's how many business days since you ordered it? And literally, you ordered it probably a day or two after me, and it's taking like 2 weeks or something like that. Right?
We're pretty close to 10 days.
Yeah. So, point is, with it, we ordered, I don't know if we ordered at the same place, but I do know we ordered within like 48 hours of one another. I was a little bit before. We got similar pricing, I think, but the delay, huge delay. And I'm seeing reports out there now that physical silver is being extremely hard to source. The premium's up pretty big. Hasn't broken the system yet, like a lot of people are hoping, but the stress is gathering. You know, can the Fed and friends paper that over? Maybe. There's so many bubbles out there. Once one pops, they're all probably going to pop. That's why I say, you know, wait for Bitcoin, some of the weak hands to fold. You got to remember, last March, Bitcoin went from, let's just say, like 10 or 11,000 down to 6,000, maybe even more. Long story short, in just a week, when the whole COVID crisis came down, right, around St. Patrick's Day or a little before that, Bitcoin dropped 20, 30, 40%, just like the stock market, or even more than the stock market. The thing is, it recovered and has quadrupled since then. So you may see Bitcoin drop literally $5,000-$10,000 in one day. So long story short, if you want to get in, I say be a little patient. Have your get everything in place so you can have your powder ready, right? But I still think there'll be a drop, and we'll see. I'm diversified. If Bitcoin goes to zero, I'm not going to lose everything. Always remember, when the electricity goes out, what do you got? I think that's a rule to live by as well, though.
Yeah. So what do you think of those bullion markets and that, and the inability to secure your purchases? How broken is that?
Well, right now it's heavily stressed, but I don't know if it's broken. If you go more than a month, or let's say in a week, they say, actually, sir, we had to cancel your order. We can't deliver. Sorry, here's a refund. Then we'll be talking. If it's just like a week or two late, that's stress. They're having some issues, but they're still covering it in the end. I'm not like totally overwhelmed by it, but something to keep a lookout. By the way, I'm really glad you brought this up, but we're running out of time. I got to finish up before break. I went to my ATM today. It was not dispensing cash. I went to another ATM. It did not dispense cash. I went to a third one. It did. I don't know. Maybe a shortage of cash. Maybe COVID. Maybe something else is going on. We don't know. Maybe just some bad luck and they were out. I don't know. Just saying that. Make sure you have your cash supply, too. At least a few grand or something if you're able, while people still accept it. So, anyway, guys, we're coming back to the News Blitz, Patriot Power Hour, PrepperBroadcasting.com. Check us out. We'll be right back.
Prepared to be the family doctor in a disaster or emergency? This is the Intrepid Commander, and I'm holding the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy, M.D. In this great book, you'll learn how to prepare for medical care off the grid. You'll learn about assessment and stabilization. You'll even deal with things like bioterrorism response, radiation, and how to build the off-grid medical kit at home. Look, 2020 taught us a lot about the limitations of our medical infrastructure in America. Get the Prepper's Medical Handbook today at Amazon.com. Again, that's the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, we are back. We are live. It's time for your Future Danger News Blitz for February 9th, 2021. As always, FutureDanger.com is the place to go to check this out. Again, FutureDanger.com. Let's mix it up. Let's start on the fourth column, natural news. As it's been for more than a year now, focus heavily on COVID. These articles, let's go through the headlines. Scientists warn that COVID is reducing fertility. There's a claim that there's no natural immunity from COVID and that new variants reinfect. Vaccines or not, scientists now believe COVID is here to stay. Washington Post says a COVID lab accident is plausible and must be investigated. Something we were talking about more than a year ago on Patriot Power Hour and here on Prepper Broadcasting Network. Now the Washington Post is finally getting in on it. Must be investigated. I think you're a little late, Washington Post. British COVID-19 B117 coronavirus, that's one of the variants, spreading rapidly through America. 70% more contagious and 30% deadlier, according to this estimate. You can read through that here on Future Danger, of course. Strange disease, not COVID, well, assuming it's not. Strange disease causing people to throw up blood kills 15 in Tanzania. Local radio reporting many are dying in Israel following Pfizer experimental mRNA COVID injections. Add that to some of the other articles we've read the last couple weeks. Only 32% of Americans oppose government vaccine mandates. That's pretty scary. Only 32% oppose government mandated vaccines. So that's more than a supermajority that supports government-mandated vaccines. Okay? Messed up. More than half, though, don't want a COVID-19 vaccine. That's probably about right. So that type of cognitive dissonance is very common in America these days. More than half don't want the vaccine, but the great majority want government-mandated vaccines. Continuing real quick, there's a mouse plague in Australia. The FDA, Food and Drug Administration, admits gene-edited food is now being sold, but doesn't keep a list. And real quick, a newly discovered 50-yard-wide asteroid is going to fly between the Earth and the Moon. Enough to take out a big city if it hits in the wrong spot. Go ahead and move on. I got a few other articles, but let's move on to the next column. That's major, kind of the more highly rated articles, I believe, there. Economics, still sitting at just under 800,000 initial jobless claims. We've been seeing that range for 6+ months, although it has been increasing some. Not the type of unemployment, initial unemployment, that is, that we saw starting about this time last year up through March and beyond, but still many more than breaks even. So a net loss, let's say that for sure, on the economic engine. The CBO finds that a $15 minimum wage would kill over 1.4 million jobs. Inflation still allegedly 1.13% on the consumer price index. We've talked about that on the show. Maybe we'll hit that in the fourth quarter. I'll leave it at that. But the official number 1.23 or thereabouts. 1.13, excuse me, percent inflation. Again, I believe it's more like 10%, but we'll leave it at that. Commodities soaring 25% year over year, though. So there you go. Something's going up big time in price, some not so much. Dollar maybe ending its end game. Interesting article, kind of low level, just big picture, but another cool thing to check out here on Future Danger. The Dow's been pretty flat, near all-time highs. S&P pretty much all-time highs. NASDAQ, Tesla, Bitcoin, real estate, art, antique cars, everything at all-time high. How much longer can it go? Who knows? Let's go ahead, move on, though, to the second column. We got national security. COPE North. The U.S., Australia, and Japan stare an air stage an air combat exercise to protect Guam. They're drilling to make it harder for Chinese missile strikes to wipe it out. Obviously, Guam, major military base in the Pacific. Customs data shows China exported millions of counterfeit masks and test kits. Now, here's something, a tease to the second half of the show today, but an article actually on Future Danger right now, Fifth Generation Warfare, former Navy doctor calls COVID-19 vaccines weaponized medicine. I personally said a long time ago, I'm more worried about the vaccine and the economic effects and cultural effects, society, than the actual COVID. Well, this we're seeing that come out. Some other folks agree. Maryland County Sheriff says the president has effectively dismantled ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. FBI interrogates random Trump supporters who didn't even go to the Stop the Steal rally. And this is really concerning. 29 Palms Marine Corps base out in California. 10 pounds of C4 missing. I don't know how you miss that. With everything going on these days, 10 pounds of C4 would not make a good false flag. Let's just say that. Move on. First column. Let's knock through it real quick. Bring Future Dan back on here. Fox News cancels Business Acre the day after a voting software company sues him on fraud claims. Facebook censoring posts with claims about vaccines it deems false. Twitter is as well, I would add. COVID cases plummet after the WHO changes testing protocol upon Biden's inauguration. Moving on to some Second Amendment and really just overall liberty. Supreme Court is going to decide whether community caretaking exception allows police to enter homes and seize firearms without a warrant. Interesting. I'm about to follow that case for sure. Bank of America. This is actually, this is the highest rated insofar as most dangerous, threatening article on Future Danger today, or at least these two articles. First one, Bank of America secretly hands private customer data to the FBI following the Capitol riot. And Microsoft, Motorola, Cisco, selling fusion systems to world governments. Those information fusion systems. So we're seeing all the top corporations, multinational mega corporations, betraying your privacy. That fifth generation, exactly. Couple more articles. We'll bring Future Dan on. Senate to violate the Constitution. strip Trump's Fifth Amendment rights at the impeachment trial, which started today, of course. House bill introduced to impose psych exams on citizens, see if they're unsuited to bear arms. We have a national firearms registration system being introduced by the House. I mean, it's coming left and right now. This is a pretty full news blitz. Let me bring on Future Dan. And I know we had a couple more articles to go, and I probably skipped over a couple. But man, it seems like things are starting to heat up and agendas are kicking into gear now that we've hit a few weeks of Mr. Biden in office.
Yeah, it's coming. We knew it would be. I just wanted to mention to you my new view on what real public polling would be if we could ever have it. But you could guess at what the reality is. You just don't know the true percentages. But when you were reading those public polls on vaccines,
yeah,
only 32 are necessarily against mandatory vaccines, but over 50% have reluctance to take the COVID vaccine. There's some portion of the people that are, you know, suffering cognitive dissonance there. Okay. And my new view on what a real public poll would look like, if you could know, it'd be the percentage on any particular issue. Pick the issue, it doesn't matter. There's a percent that consciously agree with a position versus a percent that consciously disagree versus people that are unconsciously doing either one, you know, through their actions or through their ignorance, they're in agreement or disagreement oftentimes with anything that could be discussed. And I do believe that mobile computing in the last 20 years and the generation raised on it, it's produced mass unconsciousness, but at the same time, through memes and eventually through finding your way to messages that are outside of the mainstream, the opportunity for the red pill to bring people from unconscious to conscious, it's there. Hopefully Patriot Power Hour serves that purpose a little bit. But in any particular issue, you kind of got those four domains, and the amount of people that are in the just ignorant, unconscious of, you know, too long didn't read crowd is historically high.
Oh yeah.
It's like nothing we've seen before.
Oh, a lot of people are relatively proud of it almost, in different ways. And
yeah,
I agree in the Matrix. And I mean, a lot of people use Matrix as the kind of allegory or whatever, but it works out. It does work so well. And what you just said about folks going deeper into that kind of unconsciousness and kind of lemming-like trance before they break out. Not everyone breaks out, of course, but if you do go deep into there and you do break out, then it is kind of like the Matrix. It really is like taking the red pill or whatever, right? And you open your eyes like, oh my gosh. All my colleagues at work, all my friends, family are just buried in their phones 24/7. All they care about is entertainment. They don't know anything about the financial system or, you know, all the political thievery going on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it can be pretty insane. So I think the great majority of folks won't unfortunately wake up, but those that do will be kind of superpowered, supercharged with this technology, able to do so much. I mean, that's the hope, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's our only hope. I mean, because I still think about 75% of humanity will never wake up no matter what. And a lot of folks say, I think, what, 3 to 5% of people fought on the side of the Patriots in the Revolutionary War. So to expect much more than that nowadays is kind of ignorant in of itself, I think. What do you say about that?
I think when I was your age, if someone had said half the people were unconscious to what matters and would never, you know, break out of it, people would dispute it. But when you say 75 now, I'm not sure you're far off.
Oh.
And that's the wrong direction.
That great way to put it, exactly. So damn. Well, through the fire we go, folks. There's the music. We're going to break. PrepperBroadcasting.com is the place to check us out. We got some sponsors. We got some good stuff. You need to help support us. We don't get paid by those globalists. We're not part of the Federal Reserve's group getting loans at 0%. No, we need your support. And check us out. Quality products. We'll be back. PrepperBroadcasting.com and the Patriot Power Hour United.
I can't remember anything. Can't tell if this is true or dream.
The situation around Syracuse is one of utter devastation. Just like the other nuked cities, the danger area of highest contamination extends out 20 miles from the blast zone. All the communities immediately around the city have major problems. There is a mandatory evacuation order for the city itself and some of the immediate surrounding areas. They are testing the water, air, and soil constantly for contamination. This excerpt is from the book titled The Prepper, Part 1, The Collapse, by Carl A.D. Brown. Go to Amazon.com today and explore one family's journey through the collapse. Again, The Prepper by Carl A.D. Brown.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour here for that second half. And I'm going to turn the mic on over to future Dan. You got a lot to talk about. I know a little bit about it, but not too much. I'll probably just get in your way and spoil things without actually explaining everything. So how about I shut up and let you get into it?
Yeah, and I want to let everybody know that, you know, this is just my take on things that have been talked about for at least 30 years. And I by no means am an expert, but I'm familiar enough that I thought we could share it with the audience and then, you know, kind of going forward, talk about in terms of the five generations warfare. It's a construct. It's not the only construct, but it does a fairly decent job of telling you where we were and what we're getting to. Okay. So the way I want to do this, Ben, first I'm going to talk about the five generations on the dimension of the combat and the equipment that defined the combat. And when you talk about combat, you know, a way to think about it is the tactical, the operational, and the strategic. And tactical and strategic, you hear a lot of people using those terms. Sometimes they're, you know, interchanging concepts within them if they're not too careful about their language. And unless you're, you know, familiar with military staff training, as I am, you know, the layer of operational doesn't, you know, oftentimes get discussed. So I'm going to get into that for the five generations. Then I'm going to come back and recap with the wars that are typical of those five generations that people, you know, help them understand. And then finally, talk about the international power structures, the international state system, and where it was at each generation of warfare, including today in the fifth generation. And then coming up next quarter, I'm going to make use this analysis to tell you, you know, my estimate of the situation that is probably contrarian. And, you know, kind of getting out in front of the crowd with my analysis, and I'm looking forward to your reaction to it.
Awesome, man. Let's do it.
All right. So, first generation. Tactically, we're talking about swords, spears, arrows, all the way into early smoothbore. We're getting into the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s at where it's still first generation warfare. So from prehistoric all the way through classical, you know, the Roman legions, the before that, the Greek phalanx, and all the way up into the Napoleonic era. Operationally, it was all defined by horse message distances. So what that means is, you know, commanders could affect battle, you know, only within the range of their horse, within, you know, a matter of 24 or 48 hours. And that was the status quo all the way through Napoleon in Europe and up you know, blending into the American Civil War, right? Strategically, you know, nation states could have strategies, obviously, since early empires and first generation, but it was pretty primitive, okay? And the domains of, you know, military, diplomatic, financial, all the soft power, as they call it, as opposed to the hard power of military might, it was not well synchronized, okay? So that's first generation, tactically, operationally, and strategically. I know okay. I'm leaving stuff out, but that's a quick recap. Second generation, tactically, we're talking about rifling, automatic fire, and true indirect cannon fire, beyond line of sight fires, okay? The horse operationally is moving to motor message, wireline, and the advent of radio. So the operational command and control ranges are starting to multiply by several factors.
Oh, yeah.
Strategically, though, there's still no shot at conquering the world. Generalship is not terribly different from Generation 1, in my analysis. All right? There's no plausible way. I mean, perhaps Napoleon thought about it, but there was no way – even in second generation, to get, you know, to take the world. Gen 3, okay? Third generation. We're talking man-packed, enabled small unit fire and maneuver, and radio-enabled platforms, aircraft, and land vehicles, the tank. So the tank arose at the end of Gen 2, of course, but in Gen 3, what it enabled operationally now was Blitzkrieg. Blitzkrieg, it progressed through what you saw the United States do in Vietnam with helicopters all the way into the doctrine of the United States Army in the 80s was called air-land battle, okay? So we're talking from Poland to Kuwait, the Blitzkrieg come air-land battle. That's third-generation warfare, okay? The radio communications become great and worldwide and SATCOM rises. All right. Strategically, what you see is an attempt to take over the world. Third Reich totalitarianism, you know, attempt takes a shot at doing it and it fails. Right. But now we've had a tyranny take a shot at world empire. Okay. Fourth generation is where this started in, you know, 1989, where the author of a paper for the Pentagon essentially announced those three generations and said we're now in fourth generation.
Okay.
Okay. And it received certain criticisms, but it has sort of endured as a conceptual framework, right? So before fourth generation was defined in the early 90s. The other three generations weren't really recognized as such, okay? Fourth generation, tactically, we're talking about distributed operations, most, you know, with it enabled by air transport, night vision infantry. By 1997, the rise of fully, you know, night vision enabled infantry platoons was a dramatic departure from third generation warfare. The rise of special operation forces, especially in the United States, to rely upon the soft forces as opposed to conventional forces tactically, yeah, you know, that defining feature in my mind to fourth generational warfare. My military career was fourth generational in the late 90s, you know, through the early 2000s. Operationally, you know, SATCOM enabled push button warfare, missile standoff warfare, rise of robots in the air and the sea, and space and cyber domains are now contested. That defines operationally fourth generation. And then strategically, we're talking about terrorism, asymmetric warfare, psyops, info wars, lawfare, using law internationally to promote the state's interest or whatever group's interest, because non-state actors are, you know, rising and decentralizing in a way that we didn't really have since first generation. So the critique of fourth generation warfare construct is – some of these activities were also happening, you know, predominantly during the first generation. Insurgency, black ops, endless low intensity warfare, which really began during the Cold War. So, you know, a lot of what the Soviets were doing resembled fourth generation. The seeds of fourth generation arguably are in what the KGB had thought of doing all the way through the Cold War. But strategically, hierarchies are breaking down by now. Okay? Fifth generation, where we're headed right now. All right, tactically, it will be dominated by land robots. Operationally, we're seeing a merger with the strategic paradigm. I mean, the paradigm falters. They kind of start to merge because command of tens of thousands of warriors by just a few commanders is now possible in 2021, fifth generation. Strategically, though, it's a major shift. All covert means of warfare are employed. The treasuries, the diplomats, the internal police, known as Homeland Security, and the paramilitaries that are within it, and the intelligence agencies, that's predominant now in fifth generation. Okay? We're talking hybrid war, biowarfare, election interference, mass censorship, surveillance state, corporate warfare, financial warfare, the nation-state destruction. That kind of defines what we're seeing in fifth generation. Okay? So that was a tactical, operational, strategic, quick take. There's so much more to say about each of those layers, and people can take exception to some of, you know, my definition, but we're trying to do this quick and just give everybody a primer. Okay? So the defining wars for each of these generations, well, you know, 1G wars were prehistoric to Gettysburg. The quintessential second generation war was World War One, right? Third generation war, when the Third Reich opened it up with Blitzkrieg and World War Two, all the way through, you know, Storm and Norman Schwarzkopf into Kuwait. Okay? Throughout the Cold War, it was 3G war predominantly.
Okay.
Okay, so Cold War and 3G war, all the proxy wars around the world, that's all part of 3G war. Vietnam, Korea, Vietnam, all the way through Panama, Kuwait. Fourth G war is war on terrorism, the second invasion of Kuwait, Afghanistan, Russians in Ukraine, Russians in Chechnya, the Middle East, okay? And the fifth generation war, I would say, because it became less traditionally militarized and more, you know, covert, clandestine, espionage-related, we're talking about the 2020 COVID war, which I'll get into in the next segment. The final, you know, kind of layer that I want to put in there, Ben, is what was the international state structure in each of these generations, okay? So in first generation, that despite empires all the way back to Babylon and before that, most decentralized generation of warfare. Non-state combatancy is high. There's religious orders. There's tribes. There's clans. Okay? Slowly, the nation state was rising in first-generation warfare, right? Second-generation warfare, empires are starting to decline. British Empire, it comes down from its peak because of World War One, and the nation states, become supreme. Okay. Third generation, because of the outcome of World War One and World War Two, League of Nations, the United Nations, both, kind of define the international structure. So we have nation states, and they're locked into these, world hierarchies. Almost all of them are, right? All the major powers are. Fourth generation international structure, globalism's rising, New World Order. George W. Bush said it. Nation states breaking down. Al-Qaeda is a quintessential concept of the fourth generation and those non-state actors, how they're controlled. It's a different matter, but it's a feature of fourth generational warfare, international system. And then finally, we talk about it every week. What do we got now? I'll let you finish this then. The international structure of fifth generation. What do you see?
International banksters. Well, actually, you said it perfectly. You named about five or six things that are part of fifth generation warfare. I'm like, I think we covered each one of those in the news blitz. It's kind of what's going on now. We're documenting almost a fifth generation war. We're going to get into that. We're going to break. We'll be back for the last 10 minutes or so. Patriot Power Hour. I got some things to say. We're going to unpack that. Also going to talk about one more interesting item. Stick with us.
You may have noticed the traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour is back for the final segment of this February 9th, 2021 episode number 128. We're grinding out here as much as we can on PPH, part of Prepper Broadcasting Network. So, we just went through the five generations of warfare. Extremely interesting take. I have a few discussion topics, but I guess I'll start with a question to you, Future Dan. What is the delineation point or kind of the transition from fourth generation to fifth generation? I guess it's more cyber-based and robotics-based, almost less of a human warfare. I mean, I feel like generation four and will still be there because you're still going to need to control three-dimensional physical space, so they'll still have airplanes and tanks and stuff. But, I mean, the society, financial, bio-warfare, all types of other aspects of potential warfare in this fifth generation. But I know I didn't. The question is, I guess, when does it switch over to fifth, or is it a process? How far along are we in this transition, and what's kind of the next steps, I guess?
I think you got to look at the targeting of civilians, the involvement of civilians as victims of this warfare, and the dimensions on which we as citizens who, you know, during second and third generation warfare would have been essentially spared. You know, if you were at home during, you know, you weren't spared if you're German in home when your country's getting overrun, of course, but you're just collateral to what the main military activity was, right? Whereas in, you know, fourth to fifth, fifth is full blown. We are part of the target being influenced. And, you know, the estimate of the situation I got that I want to put out tonight, if we teased in the first segment, you know, I think we lost a fifth generation war last year to China. I think that happened.
So you think that we already lost, like the war started and ended and we lost that quick, not even a battle. It's just, bam, we just got, I guess I could see that being true, but you think it's over?
Chinese,
huh? I mean, damn.
Chinese communists, neo-communists, really, they're not quite what we faced last century. But you know what they what was hatched out of Beijing, if you lend credence to the evidence that, you know, that came out of a lab and it wasn't accidental, you know, that biowarfare that directly translated into the election control,
right,
and the Susantry over you know, people in power. I mean, they accused Trump of this. But it's one of those things where you accuse your, you know, it's one of those Zelensky things. You accuse your opponent before it's apparent of you of the exact same thing that you're going to be accused of later to inoculate the masses to the accusation, right? I think the destruction of this nation state is pretty apparent to everybody. Everybody talks about it on this channel, right? Carl's talking about it. Dave's talking about it. Dane's talking about it. James is talking about it. I think it's time to own up to the fact, you know, we didn't win the Vietnam War, and I think we just had one called covertly with another world power and didn't come out on top.
No, we didn't come out on top. That's for sure. We just kind of got spanked. I don't see anything good out of it. And really, I think COVID is only one dimension of it as well. I mean, what else besides COVID? I feel like the financial aspect and, of course, the election theft. But it goes even deeper. You think in fifth generation warfare, how do you identify the enemy? I mean, we can name China, but there's just like so many other enemies. It's almost borderless war too, right?
So, you know, within the Western globalist cabal, you got a lot of actors, obviously. So the nation state system's not gone. I mean, there's French intelligence, right. German intelligence, Israeli intelligence. And of course, sitting over on the other side of Asia is the Russian autocracy. It's there withstanding what's going on around it while continuing the Russian tradition of not being democratic in any real sense. So, you know, we're in this blended phase, but it's much more decentralized than we experienced in the 20th century. We all know it. We all feel it.
Right.
So at the peak of the centralization, you get, you know, the Third Reich and what it attempted and the tragedy that was. And now you got major state actors that have learned from history and they don't take it over, but they never let the pressure off each other covertly. And you know, although Trump withheld it for 4 years, in the end, I think we submitted to an enemy last year.
I don't want to get too crazy with this, but at what point does all this technology and interconnectedness and cyber warfare, sociological warfare, financial warfare,
genetic warfare.
Yes, well, I was going to actually bring artificial intelligence in on this. Is artificial intelligence already involved? I mean, I'm sure humans are still pulling the levers for sure. Well, I would hope so, for better or worse. But my point is, like, every day, every hour, things become much more automated, and for better or worse, artificial intelligence grows. It may be not centralized into a singularity, take over the world, like all the dystopias. But, I mean, we're transitioning into this new generation, and at some point, it's almost like a battle against an AI with a whole bunch of subservient plebes, a bunch of on the good side, you almost have the Reddit Wall Street folks, right? They're almost underneath the artificial intelligence of Reddit. They almost act as a collective mind. But on the bad side, you kind of have, you know, the Democratic Party with China and a bunch of old, horrible people in Europe from the old empires all conspiring with others to, you know, take over everything. So, I don't know. I feel like it's the artificial intelligence is growing in strength in us. We mere humans are just going to start overestimating ourselves. I don't know.
I think artificial intelligence, unless you had a sentient machine, which is science fiction, I think right now, one generation swords are to second generation rifles, to third generation radio, to fourth generation night vision, and now, you know, fifth generation, we got AI as a tool to fight with. Right now, it's a tool, but it's a immensely powerful one compared
right.
to the other ones I just mentioned.
It's like AI is in its infancy stage, but it's almost like a cybernetic, and it attaches to the human host. Twitter gets the Twitter army. You know, anti-Trump folks, give them a platform, but we'll totally shut you down if you bring up anything about election fraud. That's the AI, that's Twitter, and the folks that use it, that collective mindset, kind of being employed as a weapon. And I could just see that growing and not becoming self-aware per se, but becoming more powerful and employed as weapons.
Yeah, but for now, covertly, right? I mean, the U.S. military is definitely experimenting with AI and, you know, swarms of aerial air combat mm-hmm. vehicles are going to be operating off of it and give us quite an advantage, right? I mean, that's what keeps a lot of this on the back burner, Cold War style, KGB originated. You know, we may influence your election, and disease a big part of your population with a genetically altered bat flu. But we're not doing the Million Man Swim to Taiwan, at least not quite yet.
Not quite yet. No. I mean, pretty crazy stuff. We're running super low on time. I actually want to talk about this a lot more, but I guess we'll have to wait till next week.
Yeah, we got to hear about Marcus, though.
Yes, Marcus, my favorite fan of the show. Big shout out. He sent me a couple messages on Twitter I wanted to talk about. Speaking of the artificial intelligence Twitter, we can still use their technology for good. So he messaged me. We were talking here back and forth. We really started getting into some commercial real estate and how no one's returning back to the office in the long term, at least, not to the level it should be. And this kind of evolved into the next topic. And we finally landed upon the hypocrisy of climate change and all the subsidies and all the bogus stuff. So Marcus is from Sweden. He knows all about this in Europe, okay? He says that they are experiencing major power outages and service disruptions because of all the change to renewable energy. Because of this, they had to start up reserve power plants. The CO2 levels are going through the roof. Essentially, it's a total bust. They try to get rid of fossil fuels and get with this Paris Climate Accord, et cetera, and because of that, they're losing money, number one. They're experiencing hardships, number two. But in the end, they're still having to burn oil and carbon during peak times and during storms and et cetera. So just very interesting. Shout out to Marcus, one of our top fans. Very interesting stuff. And yeah, man, maybe we can get him on as a guest sometime, even though it's quite late over there at this time. anyway, shout out, Marcus. Good stuff.
Yeah, and during this show tonight, Bitcoin almost at 4,700 again at around the second quarter of Patriot Power Hour. It's come down a few hundred since then, but keep an eye on it, folks. That story can be totally different by this time next week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've been selling a little bit as it goes up and buying it back at lower prices here and there. I don't know. Diversify, folks. But again, as always, you got to prep on and be ready for that EMP. I don't think any Bitcoin is going to work at an EMP. Even I don't believe in that. So anyway, we got to get out of here, Future Dan. Make way for Next Generation Show. It was another fun show, my man.
Good show. I enjoyed it, Ben.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great analysis on the generations of warfare. Man, I got to think about that and talk a little bit more next week and beyond. We'll be back live next Tuesday and every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Signing off. Catch you guys later.